throughout this Advent season about this night and when we finally light the Christ candle. It's always a special moment, and we want to draw attention to that, and that's what I want to do tonight. I'm going to try to let the scriptures speak for this, so my comments will be few tonight. So if you came to hear what Larry had to say, you're going to be disappointed. But if you came to hear what the scriptures say, you should be very much satisfied. I was following this theme of light. In fact, I was thinking even more so from the very beginning, even before man existed, God called light into being, into existence. The earth was without form and void, it says, and the Lord said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Well, you might think, well, that's the sun, but that sun's not created until later on. So in that first day, this principle of light and darkness was established before creation, before any of us were here, before the seas and the land appeared. And so it's as if God gave a testimony by the natural processes of light that would bear witness to the very thing that we're observing tonight. So I'll just read from some of what I wrote about these things, and hopefully your thoughts will track with me here. So we come to this Christmas Eve, having had our thoughts directed each week of December to our Advent themes of hope, peace, joy, and love. Each week, we've highlighted first a single, we lit first a single candle, adding a second, then a third, and then a fourth as the month progressed. We came to this final night of Advent just as each candle lit in its time combined all along the way to reveal symbolically an increasing light on this Christmas Eve. We light the final and preeminent Christ candle. In doing so, we demonstrate symbolically that the divine light of the glory of God find its fullest and clearest expression in the person, life, and works of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is this person and that glorious work that we gather together tonight in this dimly lit sanctuary to remember. And as we've already began with prayer, I just want to call your attention to some passages regarding this light that we're celebrating tonight. Regarding this light, the prophet Isaiah foretold of him as that great light that would shine upon those dwelling in darkness. In Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, "But there will be no more gloom for her who is in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by way of the sea and on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." And again in Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 5, where the Lord really foretells here the light of the dawning upon Israel to be seen and desired by the nations. He writes there, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together to come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in their arms. Then you will see, they will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you." So speaking of that future light, when Christ restores his people. John the Baptist foretold of the prophecy of his father Zacharias to be the witness of that light, preparing the way before him. Luke 1, 67 through 79, so these verses. "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the land of our enemies, the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, For you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The Apostle John wrote of him as well as the eternal Word who was with and who is God, whose life was the light of men, whose light was true and coming into the world in human flesh could not be overcome by the darkness. John 1, John writes this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into the being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it." John the Baptist himself spoke of this light as well in John 1, 6 through 8, saying, "There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man." And then in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Though he came not to judge, but that the world might be saved through him, still he was that light which exposed the darkness of sinful men. He was the light from which they fled, that they might conceal the darkness within them." John 3:17 through 20, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. He is also the one who said of himself, 'I am the light of the world,' the one in whose light men might come out of darkness and death into his light." John 8:12, Jesus said, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.' He was also that light which must for a time be extinguished, so that men might believe in him, so that they themselves might become sons of light." This is a lengthy passage, but listen carefully. John 12:20, beginning in verse 20. "Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. And these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' And Philip came and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip came and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? 'Father, deliver me from this hour.' But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." And so the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered, and others were saying an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus answered and said, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for yours. Now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. The crowd then answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ is to remain forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light." He was the light whom the prophet foretold must suffer. John 12:36 picks up in this, or verse 41 through 41. These things Jesus spoke, and when he went away, he hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes, and he hardened their hearts, so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them." These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. He's the light in whom men ought to believe and walk and become sons of light. Again, in John 12:35-36, Jesus said to them, "For a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." You hear those three. He is the light in whom we who believe have been made to become sons and daughters of light in the world, lamps through which his light illumines the world. He is that light that shines through our good works, which being seen by men, redound to the glory of God. Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus says of us, are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. His is the light in which we walk. His is the light in which we walk, we will have fellowship with one another and the continual cleansing from sin. 1 John 1:5-7. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And this last one is glorious, but his is that light, radiant and eternally glorious, which shall endure forever, illuminating his kingdom and all who dwell there. Listen to these verses, Revelation 21. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it in the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory of the honor of the nations into it, and nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 22:1-7. Then he showed me a river. I love this passage. He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. On either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will be no longer any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no longer any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp nor of the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. So you see, the theme of light is not insignificant. In fact, by God's own design, I believe from creation all the way into eternity, and when we take up our place in the kingdom of God, it will be the light of the glory of God that illumines all of us and all of the kingdom. I honestly believe that when we hear the word light spoken of here, it is the physical manifestation of the infinite glory of God. I think that's what shone round about on the shepherds on that night. It is the unobscured glory of God displayed in ways that we can comprehend that. And that's what Jesus is. So when we light this candle tonight and we celebrate Christmas and all the lights, that's what it should be communicating to us. Not just a warm feeling, not just a nice little feeling. I get it. I like going to Tanglewood and seeing the lights and they're pretty and all those things. And there's some sort of nostalgia to that. But the lights at Christmas should point us back to that one person who is himself the light of Christ. Amen. We're going to be sharing the Lord's Supper. I'll ask our deacons who are going to be served to come forward. I just want to make a few comments before we do that from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We are glad everyone is here. You may even be here and have never made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. We hope you will do that soon, but the Lord's Supper is for those who have. And I ask you not to feel uncomfortable in letting the cup and the bread pass by you if you've not trusted in Jesus Christ. It is a solemn thing we do, because in order to be a son of light or daughter of light, we have to come through Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men to myself. And so what we celebrate tonight is really our partaking of the body and blood of Christ, our becoming one with Christ, a relationship in which we become sons and daughters of light ourselves. Paul writes in regards to these things, therefore, he says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So it's a solemn occasion. But each man, that's us, that's me, that's you, each man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who drinks and eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. In fact, Paul says, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number even sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the brethren. So it's this occasion in which we need to examine ourselves. As we step down and prepare to serve the elements tonight, I pray that you'll do this, observe this Lord's Supper with the spirit of self-examination with the Lord's help. And if we recognize sin in our lives, that we would confess those sins and we would ask the Lord's forgiveness and not tread underfoot the blood of Christ, which we are remembering tonight.